Hey guys, my name is Charlie.
And I'm Kevin.
And we are the Holiday Bros, and you're listening to the Holiday Bros Podcast.
Holiday Bros. Holiday Bros. Holiday Bros. Holiday Bros.
Good tidings to you, Kevin, and to all of our listeners. You are listening to the Holiday Bros Podcast. This is Holiday Bros Podcast number 2, and on today's show, we're going to be talking about
a claymation Easter. Pretty horrible.
Yeah. So that's your thoughts on it?
No.
On the intro of this of the podcast.
No, I definitely have other thoughts about it.
All right. So, was this released in 1992 or was it the year before? Do you know what year it was released?
It was definitely the 90s, and okay. I don't know why I didn't grab that info.
I have some info. I have 1992, but I don't know if that was TV release or DVD release. I'm not sure.
1992? There weren't DVDs.
Okay, VHS. But no, it is released on DVD in 1992.
No way DVD in 1992.
Bing it. Let's see. So do you have any info on it? Like director?
Yeah. It was directed by Mark Gustafsson and Will Vinton, which was a household name back in the day, 80s and 90s. He's an American director and an animator, and you may know him from bringing the California Raisins to life, which we all have grown up to adore, and also the Noid from Little Caesars. Avoid the Noid.
Listen, I got one thing about Will Vinton that I wanted to say. Every time I say his name, I think I'm saying it like I'm trying to be like Dracula or something. Say, I want to talk to Will Vinton. Like, I feel like I'm a Dracula.
Well, at least you enunciated the T right there. When you just said Will, you said Will Vinton. And that goes right through me.
Yeah. Well, what is it?
Will Vinton.
Yeah, that's how a Dracula would say it. Vinton.
No.
He
actually would have said V's for both of them. Will Vinton.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too.
Blah.
But it is. So you had said that he also did the Noid, and we'll get to it when we get there. But there was one scene in this special where the main character, looks like the Noid. I don't know if you noticed it or not.
Well, the ears the entire time I think is what gave it away.
Yeah, but when he was laying down on the bench or on the couch when he was at the office, he looked pretty much just like the Noid.
I picture it because I saw that scene quite a few times.
So when did you watch this special? You just watched it recently?
Yeah, just last night. For all of these specials, I pretty much am going to be watching them the night before we plan on recording because I need to keep it fresh in the head, though it's a lot of work for me. I think bigger movies, bigger things we get to, I'll probably do 2 days in advance.
Yeah, see, now I watched this movie, I want to say, I don't know, maybe last week sometime, but then I watched it again tonight, and I don't know if this is a big surprise or not, but I hated it. Didn't like it. I don't think I remember seeing this growing up, though. I don't remember this coming out. This might have been the first time that I've seen it.
No, I definitely had no clue. I mean, we grew up with the beloved Christmas Claymation, which we will definitely be reviewing this coming December, so stay tuned for that. But I didn't even know these existed. I think when I was doing some research, a year or two ago, is when I found them and I brought them to you, Nick, and Kelly's attention. I don't think any of us actually knew about it.
No. Now, this is released on a DVD collection of all the Claymation holiday specials.
Well, it is. And when I was doing a little research last night, a lot of people were commenting saying they bought the Christmas Claymation without thinking, and they found this Easter one on there, as well as, yes, there is a Halloween one as well for all those Will Vinton fans out there.
And we got to cover that one. I'm curious about that one. I haven't seen it, and I'm sure it's going to be bad. I don't want to say it's bad, because for when this came out, like, that style was great, but there's just something about his style when it's not the California Raisins that grosses me out a little bit.
All right. And, spoiler alert, but Christmas Claymation, you love it as much as I do, right?
It's very enjoyable, yes.
Yeah. So I went into, because I did watch the Halloween one, and I'm not going to talk about that now, but you'll probably guess my thoughts, but I watched that one assuming, wow, there is a Christmas one, which is fantastic and it holds a place in my heart. Maybe I'm going to have a new Halloween favorite that I never knew about.
Yeah.
And, completely, you know, it didn't give me the feelings that I was hoping. So I really went into this Easter one just having, I could have taken the higher road and thought, well, the Christmas one is great. Maybe this one will be too, but I realized yeah, there's,
you
no
knew
way.
It was coming. You knew. While we're talking about some credits though, at the beginning, there was, another name, two other names in the credits that you might know. One, I'm not too sure if you would know, but Jim Cummings. Does that name sound familiar?
Well,
at all?
I already have that, all that stuff up here, and Okay. Yeah. So Jim Cummings, he's talked for so many characters out there.
And favorite cartoon of all times, Doug. He didn't talk for Doug, but he was a lot of voices on the cartoon Doug.
Well, what I remember him as, I think he played the Big Bad Wolf, but Pete as well. Pete from Disney, the big guy Pete. Like,
oh,
that
yeah.
voice is clear as day. And I actually have something to even show, you know, show that name or show that voice. Yeah, here it is right here.
Well, let's not alarm our listeners, though. I mean, hey, nothing's going to happen to the Easter Bunny, huh? Right?
I mean, that's Jim Cummings' voice right there.
That's a classic cartoon voice.
It is, but that's the voice that I know. He had to have been in, he's probably in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, probably most cartoons that we grew up watching.
Yeah.
He was a big association with Disney, I believe.
There was another name in the credits. Tell me if this one sounds familiar to you at all. Mark Mothersbaugh.
The name sounds familiar.
Okay, what if I were to say music by Mark Mothersbaugh?
Is this the person that is it? Wait, was it a Fruit Punch commercial?
No, he was. Okay, I'll say one band that he was the lead singer of, and you'll kill yourself that you didn't know it. He's the singer of Devo.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
Oh my god.
Well, isn't this the person? All right. In fact,
he did the theme song for Rugrats. Okay, that's, you would know that sound. So picture Rugrats coming on.
Yeah,
and picture type of music, and now listen to your main intro on this special. Picture Rugrats music going on right now.
Yeah, but going back to our theme, when I composed the music, we know what the music's from, but when I redid it myself, wasn't he the person that, wasn't Mark's Mother's Boss or whatever you said, wasn't that the name that you said it kind of sounded like, or not?
I don't know what you're talking about. All I know is Mark Mother's Boss did the music for it. He's the singer of Devo. You know Devo. They're the people that sing Whip It. Whip It Good. Crack that whip.
Well, then that has to be it, because I almost positive that that was the person that you said, yeah, it sounds like a Mark's Mother's Boss type tune to it when you listen to the Holiday Bros theme for the first time a year and a half ago.
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah, probably.
Because you made me look up a commercial, and it was like, yeah, I know what he looks like in those planner's pots. But
planner pots for hats.
They, you made me watch a video that, like, he did these commercials. He did, like, it was a heist. I don't know if it was High C, but it was, like, some type of Fruit Punch. It was, like, in a warehouse. It was all computerized commercial, but he did the music for it. I don't know.
I'm an old man. I'm losing it. So, yeah, those are the two other names that stood out for me when I was watching the title credits.
Speaking of names, until I actually went back to gather, because I watched the way that I do these or process this is that I watch the movie or the special that we're watching. Then I go back, and if I didn't write times down, which for this one I didn't, I had no care in the world. But I go back, and then I start to get my clips that I need. And would you know that the entire movie, I had no idea what the pig's actual name was.
Yeah, I don't think I did either. I was trying to think about that today when I was watching. I was like,
it's in the very opening thing, which I think you'll hear it right here.
Why can't you be the test subject? I feel like a sitting duck up here.
You got nothing to worry about. That fabric will be completely shockproof. No way a shark can bite through it. Probably.
All right, never mind. It was before they said it. But the pig's name is Wilshire.
Wilshire?
Yeah. But if you notice, the rabbit, he doesn't call him Wilshire once the entire time. It's always a different name. So
yeah, they didn't really go into the depth of the characters too much, except for E.B. himself.
So to start off with, with this. This is about two pigs, and the main character is an inventor named Wilshire. I didn't even realize he was an inventor until I went back the second time. And they're in what looks like to be a warehouse or some type of laboratory built into this warehouse. So they're testing out a diving suit that is supposed to be shark-proof. And I'll, honestly, with that, with the music, I don't know about you, but I was getting more of a Halloween vibe than an Easter one the entire time, especially with that scene and with that music that was playing.
Yeah, the movie does not scream Easter at all.
No, not once. And the only reason they could even suggest it is because of, you know, what they're attempting with the plot. So to continue on, just so the listeners know what's going on, because, and by the way, I'm not going to put a link to it because obviously it's copywritten to be up there. But if you just type in Will Vinton's Acclamation Easter on YouTube, you could find the entire 24-minute segment and watch it if you'd like to, familiarize yourself with this horrible, horrible classic.
Yeah, I did notice that it's up online to stream and watch. That's another thing I was going to say. What we're going to do, we actually comprised a list of some of the stuff we're going to go over for the year, like as far as topics go. So I think what we should do at the end of an episode is mention what next month's topic's going to be, so people would have some time to watch it if they would care to do that.
Yeah, that'll work.
But yeah, so let's go back to Will Vinton here. Definitely does not scream Easter special at all.
No.
The whole intro, okay, so when you're looking at a California raisin, they have long arms, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, they're a raisin, and the arms are thin, so it kind of doesn't stick out. This pig has such long arms, they're almost dragging on the ground. That's how long they are, and it just looks ridiculous because he's not, thin. He's a beefy guy. It's a pig, you know?
Well, claymation bothers me to begin with because of and I guess it's the OCD in me, but all the subtleties that just change and whatnot. Yeah. It goes right through me.
Have you watched any of the newer movies that are out as far as claymation, that Kubo and some of those movies? When they do those, if you watch the ending credits, mm-hmm. They actually show them animating a lot of the movie, just really fast pace, but you just see the people in there moving, all the intricacies of the characters. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I can't even imagine going through that. Well, even the behind the scenes that I Claymation was probably a little bit more advanced, but, with Nightmare Before Christmas, all the stuff that went into there, at least they had a computer to help them with the faces of Jack Skellington. But doing this old school-wise, opening up the mouth little by little and taking a quarter of a second snapshot.
Well, actually what they did with Jack, we're going to be going over that one when we get there, but they have molds of all of his faces and they just
And that's what I said. It was more advanced. The computer told them they were able to type the script in and the computer said, put on head number 32 or whatever. So continuing on with the story. So with this invention, this shark suit that was a failure because the shark that, jumped up and I don't even know the other pig's name.
It was in a little kiddie pool.
It was actually a barrel. It was a half wooden barrel with water in it, and he was hovering above this shark, trying to see if this suit would be shark proof. And they pretty much primed the pump, and the shark came up and ate the pig and swallowed him. So with this invention being a failure, Wilshire is desperate to have a successful invention, so he may get enough money to move out of this warehouse, which is pretty much a dump if you do decide to watch this. And we do see a shot of his electric bill, which is over $1 million and way past due. In fact, it's actually $1,502.57.
I was going to say, it was one and a half something. I know that.
Yeah. So, $1.5 million. So he's trying to come up with ways of getting money, or he's trying. That's what all these inventions are for, is to get enough money to get out of here. So he the radio's on at this time with two of the characters that we will be hearing for the rest of this movie. And one is, it's a doctor show, it's almost like Fraser Crane. It's Dr. Spike Rabbit, and that's voiced by Jim Cummings. That's the voice that we hear. And he's on a radio show, which in this case we'll just call it a podcast. And he's on a podcast with the Easter Bunny. And
well, what I was going to say is, when Claymation is on there, like, and for the scene where he's just kicking back and the radio's going, you see like the claymation radio sitting there, and the way that they convey like sound coming out of a radio on like a claymation special, you just see the speaker just bouncing a little bit, just kind of like my voice just cracked a little bit there. That's how the speaker is. It just bounces, and I don't know. I don't like it.
Well, I have some radio stuff that we'll listen to here in a second for that. But
did you hear what was on the radio, though? Like what the guy said, the voice said? Like one of the callers called in on the radio, and they were talking to the Easter Bunny. Mm-hmm. Did you pay attention to what the guy said?
I did, but I don't remember.
He calls the Easter Bunny on the radio show to say, is it true that you were once offered $5 million to shoot one of those fetish shoe ads?
I do right now. Yeah, I remember that you said that now.
What are they trying to get at there? Just because the Easter Bunny has big feet? Like, what is it?
Probably.
Why is it a fetish shoe ad, though?
I don't know. Well, and again, I mean, they're trying to add to the whole thing of what Wilshire is paying attention to and listening to.
He perked up as soon as he heard that.
Well, he did.
A little foot fetish or something.
Well, and right before that, you were saying about the claymation. I think my favorite part of that whole thing is when he popped the Alka-Seltzer in and drank that, because I was trying to, I actually slowed it down and I paused it to look at the bubbles. It's like, how are they doing liquid on here? But I looked, it's all like gelatin, and one even landed on his chin, and then in the next quick scene it just disappeared.
One thing about the motion of the claymation here, I did not like the way the water looked in that bucket of water.
Oh no, that was horrible,
because that looked like really bad watercolor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, that was the only thing that really bothered me in there.
Yeah, well, I looked up some of Will Vinton's other stuff. He did Huck Finn as well, and the water in the river. Oh God, it went right through me.
Was it just smushed clay on a table?
No, it was just solid blue, and Huck had his feet in there, so his feet were just cut off when they hit the blue. And every now and then, you would just see a toe appear about a couple inches in front, so it looked like he was just bending his toe out of the water.
That's perfect.
No, it was horrible. But we have Dr. Spike on here interviewing the Easter Bunny and talking about stuff. And as we know, this is perking up Wilshire, because he's hearing that the Easter Bunny has been offered all these jobs to do commercials for millions of dollars. But he ends up turning them all down because the Easter Bunny pretty much, he doesn't say these exact words, but the main thing is that it's all about the kids. There's a code of conduct that he's not supposed to break, and you know, taking money for being the Easter Bunny is not part of that code.
Now, while he's on the radio show, he's sitting there painting Easter eggs as well.
He is. He's always working.
He's all business, and he's all dressed to the nines, you know. And when he gets the idea, like, to hear all these commercials, like, do you think one of them would have been like Domino's calling up asking for like, I got an idea, I got this character, he's gonna be like annoyed type of guy, and the pig would fit right in.
Well,
I'm telling you, look just like him.
I don't know if I think the Noid was out before the pig. I'm almost, I think this came out in the early 90s, even if it was on TV first, and the Noid was in the 80s. The California Raisins were created in 1987.
I say those are a lot older, yeah.
They are, which I actually thought the raisins were older than 87, but they weren't, and they were just trying to sell raisins, and they needed a way to do that, and they came up with the California Raisins singing Heard It Through the Grapevine, and then that it just exploded.
That's the best marketing ever.
I know, and it worked. They said that sales boomed because of that, so.
Yep, they merchandised the hell out of those things.
I know.
We had some of the California Raisin vinyl toys when we were little. Yep. Still have them.
I could still see the dusty ones in Tennessee, too. So.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
But just as I thought, as we're hearing this, because it took me a second, I was a little taken aback that Wilshire wanted to pretty much, it seems like he wanted to kill the Easter Bunny, because he called in to the show to ask about... to ask the Easter Bunnies, you know, pretty much saying, are you really telling me that you're turning down millions of dollars for this? And first of all, the best part is he calls in and says that his name is Barbara. And I love it. Without hesitation, Dr. Spike Rabbit calls him Babs. He automatically gives him the nickname Babs, which we'll hear right here.
I got a chuckle.
Ryan, too, you're on the air.
I got a question here.
Please identify yourselves for our listeners.
My name is Barbara.
Go ahead, Babs.
So, I mean, you know.
That's one of the parts I did chuckle at when it came on.
Yeah, go ahead, Babs. So we get to this point where we figure, you know, he's just, it seems like he wants to kill the Easter Bunny. So he pretty much goes into this whole plan of trying to locate him and everything. So he whips out a map. And this is why, again, there's no Easter vibe yet at this point, because we hear some music kick on.
I was meant to finish that.
Which, I love the synthesizer pads.
Wilshire, you are a genius. Wilshire, Barbara. This is really good. This could work. Bingo.
That part makes him sound crazy when he goes, Wilshire, you are a genius. Wilshire, Barbara.
No, what he did there in the scene before this, you didn't have the audio clip of that. I had written it down. He's like combing through his bookshelf, and as he drags his finger across his books, there's an old moldy sandwich shoved in where a book was, and he goes, meant to come back for that.
Oh, I didn't actually. I don't have to go back and watch that. I didn't catch that part.
Because there's a moldy old sandwich hanging in where there's a book. So what he does is he picks out a book that it's just all about Easter myths or something like that. And then that's where he finds out. And I think in there.
Well, the map is there. And that's he circles the Easter Bunny's house.
Okay. And then the next scene it pans to is an exterior of the house, which looks just like it did in the map.
Yeah. It's one of those things where there's the paper map and it fades. And the exact, you know, what you see on the map is what it fades to. And
so now, is this like a different land that the Easter Bunny is in?
Because I thought it was.
A completely different style.
It is. The colors and everything, and there's absolutely no... But the thing is, though, Wilshire easily got there, so...
Yeah.
You know, we don't know how he got there, but...
It looks like it's from a book. Like, for example, when they take the interior of the house, the Easter Bunny's sitting on a... I would assume it's a rocking chair, but it's made out of cardboard, but everything in the house is outlined in black, but they're actual 3D objects. Like... It's not like it's a drawing. It's an actual rocking chair, but it's all drawn outline of black. Like it's looking, like it looks like it's something right out of a coloring book.
Well, it's almost like the reminded me of the multiverse episode of Family Guy. Like when they went to Disney, then like just the way everything was drawn differently in that, you knew what it was, but it was a completely different style drawing. That's pretty much what this was as well. And the fact that it was bright and cheery,
it's definitely vibrant, but that's because I guess you're not in the slums of the junkyard
it's almost like they pulled a Wizard of Oz type thing where you went from this horrible situation where, you know, in that case black and white, to this beautiful color. This was just a rundown old beaten up warehouse laboratory, all dark colors, very dim lit, and then we get to this very sunny landscape with the Easter Bunny's house, and it's in the middle of the woods, which I wouldn't have expected.
Yeah. Now, there was when he got into the house, he did say something ridiculous, but his whole plan was to go in there as a vacuum salesman.
Yeah.
And he just pretty much sucked up everything in the house.
But literally everything.
When he first got into the house, though, did you hear what he said to him? He gave him a little zinger, and I laughed. That's the second part that I laughed at pretty hard. Mm. Did you hear what he said to the Easter Bunny when he busted in the door?
I don't remember what it was.
Okay. You don't have any of this for audio clips on this?
No.
Okay, so when he gets into the house, he's just like looking around, and the pig says to him, he goes, oh, he said something like, the Easter Bunny said like that he's really busy, and he goes, ah, you're busy? Good, then I have something perfect for a working mother like you. He's called him a mother.
You know what? I don't remember that part then.
Yeah, see, when I'm watching these, I have to just like... pay attention like extreme amount, because I want to pick up like all the little subtleties that you don't get just like as if you're watching it normal.
And this one had many subtleties in it.
He did say, so if you get a chance to go back, look for that sandwich, pay attention to the next scene when he goes into the house, because he does say about being a working mother.
All right, well,
so I don't like his plan though, because he just sucks up everything in the house. Then the house is completely bare, it's just down to the drywall. But then the house falls apart, and that does not make any sense. Why did it just fall apart?
Probably sucked out all the nails from the vacuum. But before it falls apart, that's when he sucks up the Easter Bunny.
Oh, yeah.
That's how he traps him.
Yep. And then he's pretty vicious towards him then afterwards.
Well,
I mean,
he is.
Definitely...
He's completely tied up.
Yeah.
He has him back at the warehouse, which I don't recognize that part of the warehouse. I almost feel like they're upstairs in some area. Of the warehouse, probably where the original scene was with him listening to the radio. because we get to hear the radio again because, you know, news gets out that the Easter Bunny is missing. And at the time, because I didn't know what was going on, I just assumed they were holding some type of contest or audition to try to find a new Easter Bunny, which we realize later on that it is a contest. Mm-hmm. That they're looking for the new Easter Bunny, not trying to find the old Easter Bunny. They just want to replace him right away because Easter's coming up. And then this is going back to what you said with those that radio talking. So we get.
I think you just called him a Beaster Bunny.
I probably did. I do that a lot. It's called dysgraphia, where you switch the letters from two words.
Problem is, though, you didn't change it. You said Beaster Bunny.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's all right.
I always thought that was called a spoonerism when you change the letters around.
Maybe layman's terms, but it's actually called dysgraphia when you do that. But we hear the radio. We hear them talk here and letting us know about the rules.
According to ancient rules, an Easter race must be held with the winner becoming the new Easter Bunny.
So that pretty much lets Wilshire know that, oh, there's something he could do now to become the Easter Bunny, which is going to this contest.
And then years later, Disney stole this and asked Tim Allen to do the same thing in the Santa Claus.
Yeah, true. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. So the original one dies and a new one just takes his place.
Yeah. Well, to convince himself and hopefully the world that he would be the perfect Easter Bunny, I almost did it again, Wilshire dresses up as a bunny and he goes to speak with Dr. Spike, who was on that radio show. Because Dr. Spike, even though he has a radio show, he's also an actual doctor that you could go visit. And by the layout of his office that Wilshire was laying down dressed in this bunny outfit, we could assume that he was a psychiatrist. And Wilshire goes to speak to him as a client and states that he feels he's a rabbit trapped in a pig's body.
Yeah, and then he just said, no, because at first he goes, you're a pig trapped in a rabbit's body? And he goes, no, I'm a rabbit trapped in a pig's body. Or is it the opposite way? No, I don't remember. The doctor said it one way, and then he said it the opposite way.
I don't remember, but I do know that around that point that Wilshire was getting PO'd with him.
He was on to him. That's why. Like
he was.
Was up.
He was, because he even saw that one scene, which I found odd, where he mentioned about he needs to know what it's like to be the Easter Bunny by Friday. And mm-hmm. then they show the scene of the newspaper and saying that the contest was Friday. And it struck me as odd. I was like, huh, I wonder if they're making it look like he's on to him. And I realized that he was, because he said something to him where Wilshire got pissed off, and you just hear the...
One more word out of you.
Books too.
What was that?
He gave him a huge stack of books, too,
because
he knew that.
Well, that
he
was at the
end,
because he needed to train him.
That's what I'm saying. So he was trying to make it even more difficult that he wouldn't be able to accomplish it in the right amount of time.
Yep, and he lets him know that there's more to it than just being that, which hence these books and everything that comes after this.
I was trying to read some of the books in the stack when he hands them to him. I always try to do stuff like that, too. Like, I'll pause it and look at some of the names of the books, just mm-hmm. in case there's a gem in there. But everything seemed pretty legit. Nothing, yeah. No messages.
Well, we hear, what was that?
We're talking major commitment here. There's more to it than just looks. There's nuance. There's subtlety. The way one bounds through a leafy glade. The cock of the head. The flop of the ear. It's all these things.
So he's trying to, were you able to hear that well?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. But yeah, so, you know, trying to let Wilshire know that there's definitely more to it than just, you know, hopping around and delivering eggs. And
I wonder if he thinks it's the guy that called in on the radio the other night and threatened the Easter Bunny, pretty much.
I don't know. Like, that's the thing. I don't know if he even, recognized the voice at all.
It would have been funny if he would have slipped out and called him Babs or something, like, on accident. Then he would know for sure that he knew what was up.
It'd be great, though, if he could play that off then. But the next scene, it goes to, which I didn't get much from this scene, is that, as you mentioned, Dr. Rabbit gives him all these books and says he's going to have to start training to be a rabbit. So we next find Dr. Rabbit relaxing under an umbrella on a hot, sunny day, sipping mm-hmm. a drink, and the pig is digging, well, Wilshire is digging through the ground underneath the carrot patch.
Did you like the way that dirt looked when he was digging?
The way it popped up, I felt like I was playing The Legend of Zelda on Super Nintendo, the way that the plants and everything looked. I pictured swiping them with a sword.
I just picture like when he was digging, like all the pieces of dirt looked like coins, like flattened chocolate coins. They were just kind of like spilling outside of the hole.
No, I didn't. Well, yeah, I guess they did.
So we had him digging underneath a garden at a farm. Well, I guess it's not really a garden at a farm.
No.
But he was underground, and he was telling him he has to pick out carrots.
And avoid the dog.
Yeah, well, he didn't know there was a dog there, right?
No, I'm almost positive he told him to avoid the dog.
Oh, okay. I know there was a warning sign, or like a beware of dog sign. But yeah. He was picking out carrots and pulling them through the ground. And then, do you have anything about the dog scene? While you're drinking, I'll say, he got about 3 carrots in, and he pulls the 4th one in, and the dog goes in there, somehow fits in a carrot hole.
Yeah, well, and I don't have any audio from that, because I didn't care much for the carrots.
What did you think about that dog?
It was a bulldog.
It was a bulldog, but the way the claymation style was done in that, like the bulldog was very slobbery and drooly, but this part of the claymation, like it looked like they just took water and soaked the clay in water. I could just imagine those figures being so like sticky at that point, because I don't know how you really animate water on claymation, but it honestly looks like they just dumped water. The stuff, all the clay was so wet for this dog.
Well, that's even all those old Rankin and Bass things. Whenever there's a tear on their eyes, I'm trying to figure out what that tear is. Is it a piece of plastic?
It's hot glue or something.
That's what it kind of looks like. It, yeah, but I don't think I noticed the slot. Well, I know he was slobbery, but I didn't pay attention to the wetness of the clay.
It was soaking wet, like to the point where it was dripping all over the rabbit. if you do go back to pick out a few things, you got to pay attention to that too. It's very wet and gross looking.
All right. I don't know if I can handle it though, but I'll try. I can skip around. I don't have to watch it.
Yeah.
Well, I watch it twice, pretty much, with having to go through and get the files.
Yeah, that's
true. So, well, after this whole Carrot Patch incident, it goes to another place where the music really bothered me, and this was training on the freeway. I keep calling it a highway, but they were calling it a freeway. But
this part would end.
What?
This part would not end.
I know. So Dr. Spike Rabbit tries to teach Wilshire how to cross a road. And they're at this freeway in the middle of nowhere. It could be Route 66. But the ground wasn't, like, it just, there was no clouds in the sky. It was just the weirdest look. It was almost like it was a last minute decision.
Yeah, they were definitely like in the middle of a desert or something.
But again, where are all these places, you know, that they're jumping around? I kind of wonder what world they're in. But so Dr. Rabbit crosses the road, just takes a few steps, crosses, and that's it.
What I hated was, though, he stopped in the other lane. He didn't actually cross the road. He got halfway into the next lane and just stopped there and turned around really slow and ridiculous looking. I hated it.
But again, look, I don't know, maybe that was, you know, maybe there's some subtleness with, maybe he did know who it was and he was trying to get the pig to,
I'm sure he was trying to destroy him.
So what happens is, Wilshire then goes to cross the road, and as soon as he does, he gets hit by a car, and, it kind of fades. And again, all this time we're hearing this music, which really went through me. It was almost like a Zen type music.
Yeah, that's what I thought. He was totally like trying to like pull a, you're in the middle of a desert, take an ayahuasca like type of find your nature creature, whatever it's called when you're out there trying to find your
for rabbits.
You know what I'm saying.
Now, observe from there. Nice, huh?
I mean, I could probably fall asleep to that if I just had that music without the vocals on top.
Yeah, this just wouldn't end, though, because what did it take, 3 or 4 times?
It was 3, because every time he got hit by the car, the scene would fade, and then he'd be more bandaged up. Like, the first time he had that Band-Aid, which that Band-Aid went right through me, the way that it was done with the clay.
Hit 4 times, didn't he?
No, because
he got hit 4 times, because the first time he just got hit, second time he had a Band-Aid, third time he had the wheelchair, and fourth time he was guts.
Well, no, the first time he got hit, the next scene he had the Band-Aid because he got hit. So that was time number 1. Then he got hit when he had the Band-Aid, and then he was in the wheelchair the next movement. That was time number 2.
Talk about that scene real quick.
And then he got hit in the wheelchair, and that turned him to guts.
No, that was Ghost.
It wasn't.
He turned into a ghost and then got hit again and then was guts.
No, I thought the skeleton, his skin fell off his skeleton.
Yeah.
I got to watch this movie again. I apparently didn't pay any attention.
Well, you're lucky. Because the time when he turned into guts and bones and the sloppy skin, that was just the end of that one. Because there was one where he turned into a misty ghost and it faded away.
Was there a ghost?
Yeah.
I thought the last one was with the guts.
No, it was a ghost. But anyway, let me talk about that wheelchair scene real quick. That was probably the third and final time I giggled in this movie. Just the way they animated him, right? He's in the wheelchair, mm-hmm. and he's got, I don't know if you noticed, but he had like a container of pills on his lap. But
I didn't see the pills. I noticed the big thing of blood hanging up.
Okay. Well, they had the blood sack behind him, but then he was like, he had, just picture like a person that would be somewhat crippled in a wheelchair holding a container of pills, but the way his hand was on top of it, he was like tapping it with his finger as he was scrolling, as he was going across the road. It was, I could just picture like a real person doing that. That was actually animated pretty good.
It's probably like, did you watch Breaking Bad?
I didn't finish it.
How far are you?
3 or 4 seasons.
Oh, well, I don't know how much you know. I don't want to ruin anything for you, but just, you'll know. Are you in the part? Have you seen the guy in the wheelchair tapping the bell?
No, I don't think I'm there yet.
All right, well, you'll see what I'm talking about. That's how I could reference it then. Anybody out there that has watched Breaking Bad, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
But yeah, so someone else also settled that debate. How many times did he get hit? But anyway.
Well, if you're saying the ghost, I guess 4, but I could have sworn it was 3. I guess it's something else I have to look for now.
You're definitely going back and watching this
again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, from that, because he failed miserably at crossing the street, and there's some foreshadowing because this comes into effect for the end of the movie as well. But we're back in that warehouse of his, and there's a scene with Wilshire and Dr. Rabbit, and they're kind of talking and whatnot in the warehouse. And this whole time, which we didn't even bring up, but in almost all the scenes of the warehouse, there's this cute little rat that has been sneaking around.
Oh, yeah.
Just kind of doing, just, you know, doing things, you know, just little subtle things in this place and picking up things and taking things. Well, trying to show me that through Skype's not going to work.
It'll work.
It will not. Especially with no audio. We're going to have dead air.
No, we're talking. You're just looking. See, this is what you can't bring this up when people can't see what we're doing. This is just behind the scenes stuff. We just talk over it. So anyway, yeah, that little rat guy. I noticed he was picking up parts like throughout the whole thing, and I was trying to figure out what he was going to do with them.
Well,
like,
I don't think he was doing anything. I think it was just to show that he likes to take things. Because what had happened was the Easter Bunny is still in the vacuum at this place. See? Skin, bones, and then the pig.
And I think that he turns into a ghost? Nope.
I was going to say, I don't think there's a ghost.
Okay.
Well, there's the wheelchair scene. Oh, there's the finger tapping.
This is the one where he turns into a ghost then. But anyway, so yeah, I thought the whole time, though, that rat was... Because every scene that he was in... See, look, there's the ghost. Every scene that he was in...
No, that wasn't a ghost. That was just, like, smoke or dust or dirt off of him.
Yeah, I guess it wasn't a ghost. He wasn't dead. So anyway, the whole time that rat was on there, he would always leave with something. Like, just steal something out of the scene and run away. Mm-hmm. But he would giggle every time he did it. That's why I thought, maybe, like, at the end of the movie, there was going to be some, like, elaborate scheme or something that the rat did.
No, and I think
technically he did... Because you saw him stealing stuff and then that attributed to the way it ended, but...
Yeah, but, the whole reasoning, though, is because I guess if they didn't have... Looking at it in a storyline aspect, if they didn't have that rat take anything... Well, in this scene, the rat then goes to take the Easter Bunny and goes to take him in his hole. So remember, the Easter Bunny is trapped in a vacuum right now. So it's an old-school vacuum cleaner. It's one of those canister vacuum cleaners. And the Easter Bunny's eyes and ears are sticking out. That's it. And he can mumble, so you could hear him slightly, but the rat then finds him and goes to try to take him down the hole. So that's the whole reason why, you know, they had the rat taking other things, because if he didn't, just out of the blue, the rat taking the Easter Bunny, you know, you might, if if people cared enough about the story of this friggin' movie, but if they actually cared enough about it, they might be like, wait, why is the rat taking that? But
yeah, why would he just grab that all of a sudden?
Yeah.
One thing before the Easter Bunny pops out of this canister vacuum, there was mm-hmm. one thing in the scene before when he first kidnapped him and had him in his room. The Easter Bunny was giving him some sass back. And did you hear the one thing that he said to him, which it was kind of funny? He said, you be quiet or I'm going to go suck out under the refrigerator. insinuating that he was going to go suck up really dirty stuff and have it go into the vacuum with him.
Well, then that's where that line was that I played earlier, because that's when he goes up to him and he just says,
one more word out of you.
So that's where that came from. I thought at first that it was to Dr. Spike, but yeah, that's actually where it was from.
Okay, so anyway, the mouse goes to pull him down the hole. He doesn't fit.
The rat.
So then, the rat goes to pull him down in his little house. He doesn't fit. Then he pops out, and that's when the psychiatrist guy sees the canister vacuum.
No, what happens is Wilshire goes to grab the rat because he's like, what are you doing? And he starts yanking, because I actually specifically wrote this part down, that he starts yanking him to pull him, to pull him back out of the hole. And in typical cartoon fashion, the pigs, when he was yanking him, he was stretching him where he snapped and he flew up through the air.
Band sound when it happens.
Yeah. And he landed on Dr. Spike, who was there with him, because again, Dr. Spike was there at this time. And then he realized at that point that,
don't I know you? The Easter Bunny! E.B.! What are you, into vacuum cleaners?
So Dr. Spike then realized that that was the Easter Bunny, and conveniently, they were sitting on a trap door because the pig all of a sudden quick came over and he threw a lever and he hit him in, pretty much threw him down into a trap door, which we hear this great line. And this is, again, where it's more horror movie and Halloween than it is Easter.
Mm-hmm.
Stumbled onto my little secret, huh?
The best part is, like, that line, school's out, smart guy.
Speaking of that Halloween vibe, right at the beginning of the special, too, when he was, like, hung up with them at the radio station, mm-hmm. when they did that Halloween, like, close-up of that pig, they just blared, like, a red light right across the strip of his eyes, so he looked so demonic.
Which I was wondering, too, did you notice, and this is going back, but when he was first listening to the radio, and he kind of leaned back in his chair. He was reading a magazine. Did you see what the magazine was?
I probably did, but I don't know if I can remember it offhand.
It just, I think it was like Beautiful Pot Bellies, and it had a had a thing of a pig on the front. But I was trying to decide, was this a porn that he was reading?
I think it was supposed to be like, what's another word for, like porco, maybe.
It could be. I mean, I didn't get a porn vibe from it. But
no, I'm saying like porco instead of like porn. It's pig porn, porco.
Yeah,
that's probably what it was. Yeah, that's kind of like how Unmarried with Children. Al had his own special magazine.
Yeah. Biggins, pig, where's my Biggins?
It's probably along that lines. But yeah, I would assume that because he's in like such a dirty environment. He's just sitting there reading his nudies.
Yeah. So, with these two trapped now, you know, he declares then that he will be,
after tomorrow, I will be the new Easter Pig!
So again, the good old Halloween music there, if you will, or creepy music.
It definitely bounced around a lot, because now, like, they're all of a sudden both tied up and they're hanging out over the shark tank.
Mm-hmm.
You know? They don't really show the altercation. They just, that scene also where they fell into the pit. Just picture the way it was animated. Like, just picture taking, like, a cardboard cutout of those two characters and, like, just hovering them over a hole. It's very flat looking. But I don't know how you could really do a scene like that while you're trying to keep it slow. Yeah. I guess you have to do it like that, but
I can't even imagine how long this took to make it, especially.
And
this
is only 24
it was like 20
minutes.
Yeah, it was like 20 with credits. It was 26 minutes, I think.
Now, when the version we were watching, though, this was aired on TV, I assume, but the version we watched definitely cut out a couple times for commercials.
Oh, yeah, well, you could tell, yeah, with the fade.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, though? A lot of shows, you know, even...
There was, like, their scene breaks back in the day also. But
yeah, but sometimes you just have to wrap things up, you know, even if you don't have commercials. Like, the shows that I watch on HBO, they fade as if it's going to commercial, but then it just goes to the next scene, so... however, though, they're probably made like that. So if those shows ever go to syndication, they could at least plug commercials in where they need to be.
Yeah.
As well. So with that, with those two trapped, the next thing, it's a completely different scene. We're at this huge stadium. We see this bird's eye view of a stadium, and it looks like, to me, it looks like Outdoor Olympics is what's going on. And it's for rabbits to register, apparently for these contests, to become the next Easter Bunny.
There's a scene when he first gets in there. There's posters hanging up. Have you seen this guy? And it's a picture of the Easter Bunny.
Mm-hmm.
There's little posters hanging up there.
Yeah.
There's hidden messages in this, what would it be, football stadium or whatever type of stadium it is. Every time they show the overhead shot,
mm-hmm.
there's stuff written on the field in character with characters. I don't know if you noticed it or not.
I only noticed the last one that said Happy Easter.
Yeah. Well, actually, the last one was misspelled, and then they fixed it. But there was like the one thing it said like hairball in the corner. Like there was just hidden messages on both corners of the stadium.
Well,
he tries to get in,
and he tries to register. And the two rabbits at first are, you know, giving him a little some issues.
But now, a lot of these characters, those two rabbits sitting at the registration,
they were identical.
Yeah, they reminded me of like the Sklar brothers. That's who I imagined when I saw them. I don't know if you know those two comedians. They're twin brothers.
I don't.
You would know them if you saw them.
They looked identical to each other, those two rabbits.
Yeah. They were just kind of snarky jerks. But
they were.
It was like they let him in like all of a sudden because like one of the guys said, no, you can't. Pigs aren't allowed to compete or whatever. Then the other one he tried to get the other one to agree with him, and he said, well, it doesn't say anything in the rule book about that. So then they had to let him do it.
Yeah. And, which, you know, apparently it's his end game, and he would have probably done anything to get in there regardless. So they probably had to do an easy, you know, write in the easy way for Wilshire to get in there. So now as far as commentating, what bothers me, the next few minutes, it literally goes back and forth between the stadium and then it goes to the warehouse. So there's a lot of, I guess the scenes could have played out, but I guess they wanted to show it in real time. What's happening in the stadium with Wilshire? What's happening back at the warehouse? Because as soon as Wilshire gets in and he's registered, then we're actually back at the warehouse with the Easter Bunny and Dr. Spike Rabbit. They're tied together. They're hanging above this wooden barrel pool with the shark in it. And I'm just kind of, it goes back to the stadium and it comes back. So kind of cutting those extra scenes out. Eventually the shark does eat both of them. So it jumps up, it eats them both. And when they do that, they find the other pig from the very beginning of the movie inside the shark as well. And he's alive. He's just kind of sitting there. I don't know if he was pretending that, if he was trying to fish, he was doing something.
How did you like the way the inside of the shark looked? Animation of it. It was, it seemed like a framework and tissue paper everywhere. It flowed pretty nice, but it kind of grossed me out too.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if you noticed though, when that original pig got chewed up by the shark and eaten, mm-hmm. his arm was hanging out of the shark's mouth. So technically, his arm should have been so mangled up, but he was pretty mint in there.
Yeah. Okay, well, probably the whole cartoon aspect. I don't have to worry about that. You know, so they're in there now, and it goes right back to the contest again. So we see the first contest, which it appears to be a race. I mean, as the viewer and even Wilshire, we all assume it's a race. They're all lined up at a line.
And got me good.
Yeah, and when the gun goes off or when they're ready to go, Wilshire starts to run, and he realizes nobody else is running, and he turns around, and all the rabbits are sitting on an egg trying to get the egg to hatch quicker than somebody else. They're trying to be the first one to actually hatch the egg. So Wilshire quick runs back and sits down on it. And in typical Wilshire fashion, he's getting very impatient. And he actually even, which I did take some audio for it, he starts to knock on the egg to talk to the chick that's in there.
Oh, yeah. This reminded me of Garfield and Friends, the U.S. Acres.
Go away. I don't want any.
Do you shell, you little dweeb.
Hey. Incubating.
So I did giggle when he said, come out of that show, you little dweeb. So he's in there and he says, obviously, that he's incubating and he's not going to come out. So what does Wilshire do? Do you remember?
Doesn't he blow him up?
He does. He goes and he puts a bomb and blows the entire thing up. And that's because
and
the
all of a sudden was... a little chicken sticks his arm out with the white flag.
Yeah, because he was giving him sass, and Wilshire's not dealing with that. So
but
again,
that chicken reminded me of the chicken in U.S. Acres. Do you remember that one from Garfield? U.S. Acres is the farm.
Yeah, like, no. Are you talking about the one that wore the inner tube that looked just like that had the?
No, that's a duck. There was an egg in a shell.
Oh yeah. Wasn't it? Yeah, you just saw it, like the bottom was almost like Charlie Brown. It was the spiky because his feet were out, right?
Yep. All you saw was his feet. That was it.
Was his voice mumbled because he was in an egg?
It had a little bit of a muffledness to it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's what I meant. Muffled. All right. I'll have to look some of those online just to remember the. There was the pig's. What was the pig's name?
I know
we said
it
in the last podcast because we mentioned it.
Yeah, I'll think of it.
Didn't it start with an O, like Orphis or
Orphis, Orville? No, I don't remember. Well, it'll pop up.
Orville?
But yeah, that's all. They're all on Netflix anyway.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't have Netflix, but all right. So the next contest then that continues on is that the rabbits have to deliver eggs to as many people as possible. Now, the second time around, I didn't pay attention to the first time, but those people are just cardboard cutouts. It's not even real people.
Yeah.
and during this scene, I cringe because in my mind, one of the worst songs ever comes on at this time. And do you remember what it was?
I'm trying to think. Oh, yes. Mr. Crooner himself starts crooning. Oh, yeah, because it kept playing and going back to it.
Now, for the viewers, this is Low Rider by the band War.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of a different one. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. No. Well, we're getting to that one soon.
God.
This goes right through me.
This is like an offbeat, like a generic brand version of it.
It is. I mean, War is the original, I believe. The band War, but so he's driving around while this music's playing and he's delivering eggs, but all the rabbits are in this little pink scooter just delivering eggs like nice little bunnies.
Yeah, he's, like little Vespa.
What?
Like little Vespa scooters.
Yeah, but he's in this pink car that it looks like a convertible Volkswagen Beetle. He hits a button and this car raises up like a robot and he starts going around all these people very quick with this robot car trying to deliver these eggs.
Like, just picture when we were little and like you see like the monster trucks come into the arena and then all of a sudden they'll show like Monstersaurus Rex and it's just that one car, like that big dinosaur made out of cars that like eats other cars.
Yeah,
it's like pretty much all it was.
well, that as he's doing that with, and it's not that long of a scene. It seemed like it took forever.
It felt like it though.
Eventually, the car falls apart and he crashes and that kind of ends that scene, which yet again brings us right back to the shark's stomach. And then this is where
this song was the worst.
I don't know. I would have taken this over Low Rider. Low Rider just goes right through me. My mother-in-law,
because it's so overplayed.
Well, my mother-in-law has this, a miniature dachshund stuffed animal thing. It's a dachshund dressed in a Santa's type outfit. And when you press the button, this Low Rider plays, and the dog's snout just kind of moves up and down, and his tail wags back and forth, and it goes right through me.
See, every time I hear that song, I just picture like something like the George Lopez Show, or like one of those shows that just overuses that song.
Is George Lopez? I hate George Lopez, but has George Lopez used that?
Oh yeah.
Do you watch that show?
No, sometimes at night before I go to bed, if I put on like Nick at Night.
All right, so not his talk show, which I don't even know if he has anymore.
Oh, no, probably not. I've never watched anything.
His show annoys me. It's like, it's just one of those weird, like, I don't know. Like, it's one of those shows that were, it was an afterthought.
So yeah, this guy crooning though. When he starts singing, it just, this part went right through me, and it did not seem like it was going to end. And they kept cutting back to it. The song, like, even if you were falling asleep at this point, it would keep waking you up, for sure.
Well, do you remember why, you know, before, because I do have the clip, but do you remember why he's singing, why they decided to sing?
Yeah, because they were figuring that's what was going to get them out of the shark.
They're trying to get out of the shark because they're trapped. So Dr. Spike Rabbit decides to start singing in hopes of upsetting the shark. From his singing. So we hear this song, which is called it's pretty much called Release Me. And then it's one of those things where you'll say Release Me and in parentheses, Let Me Love Again. So it was written by Eddie Miller and Robert Yount. And the version that is closest to this, because this is probably just done in their studio, but the version that is closest to this, if anybody wants to hear the whole thing, is done by Engelbert. Listen to this name. Engelbert Humperdinck.
It's Engelbert Humperdinck.
Engelbert Humperdinck. Okay. Well, I found that one to be the most similar as what was sung here. And his version of this reached number one on the UK singles chart. So here we go. I have two parts of it, but we'll listen to the first part first and giggle.
All right.
Here's a little number that used to wow them back at the thicket.
Please release me, let me go.
And then we go.
For I don't love you anymore.
I'm the one that needs sweet relief after that.
Oh. And that's when the clam and the crab are singing. They're stuck in the shark.
It turns into an original Little Mermaid under the sea song sing along right here.
Now that audio we heard at the end, which sounds like a cutout, was actually just the outside of the shark. So it's almost like you're in the water with the shark, with the shark. So that's why the audio sounded different. But yeah, it was like Little Mermaid meets Pinocchio when they're in Monstro.
I don't know. That song just drove me nuts. Yeah. Hated it every second.
I still liked it better than Low Rider, but I mean, it just, you know, watching the rabbit sing, they were really getting into his claymation animation there.
Yeah, they were.
So, as this happens, they actually get spat out by the shark. But before that happens, really, actually, it does go back to the stadium before they were... spat out, and in an ironic twist, the final contest for the rabbits, and Wilshire is the only one left, and I don't know why. I don't know if he destroyed everybody because of that car crashing, but the final contest is for the rabbits to cross the freeway. And if you remember earlier in the flick, every time he tried to cross the freeway, he got hit by a car. So the throne, it's literally just a 2-lane highway, dotted line or dashed line, and there's a throne on the other side, and all he has to do is cross, sit down on the throne, and he's automatically the Easter Bunny.
And there was a crown on the throne as well, and if you notice the crown too, the interior of it, the red part was wet for some reason. I guess they had some leftover wet clay from the dog.
Yep. So Wilshire, to, you know, at least my surprise, he goes, he starts, and he crosses the freeway. There's really no suspense building in it, but he does cross. And as he's doing this, we hear lots of boos from the crowd. Well, yeah, but we hear lots of boos from the crowd because they're all rabbits in the crowd, so they're not happy at all. And once he finally crossed and he's about to climb onto the throne, this is where we kind of look back at the other everyone else getting spit out. And they're starting to, so they get spit out way, 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 way up into the air, and they coincidentally land pretty much
right
above the stadium. So Dr. Spike Quick opens up his umbrella, almost like a Dr. Wiggly moment here, and he floats down with them all. And then we hear some good old falling music, which I liked. So what happens there is that they fall, and the Easter Bunny falls right onto the throne. The other two land to the left and right, and with that scary music, Wilshire realizes that he's caught and that they're out and they're free, and he starts to back up onto the freeway, and then he actually does get nailed by a car. It comes flying
right then
on by.
He was just thinking, how could he get away with killing everybody here? That's why that music, because he's like, all right, everybody's got to go.
Yep. So at that point, then it's just he gets hit. The camera has a big close up on the Easter Bunny, and he just says,
"Will, I'm back."
And as soon as he's back, the entire crowd, as soon as I heard this, it got me ready for the Christmas claymation, because all we hear is Alleluia being sung.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know if you noticed, the geese that are singing in this are very reminiscent of characters in, like, the Christmas one.
Yeah, when they're going down waddling. Here we come, yep, waddling.
Yep. That kind of reminds me of the camels when we get there, the way they're singing, too. I just picture their bottom lip flapping when we're singing. So yeah, no, there's not too much Easter in this Easter special.
No, really just an Easter bunny and a couple eggs.
Yep. Pretty lame for an Easter special.
Happy Easter, everybody.
That was so droopy of him.
It was. But I guess, you figure that Will Vinton, I mean, is more of a... I would say at least this stuff is more comedic. I mean, even the Christmas claymation... There's comedy throughout that entire thing. I mean, that's...
The difference, though, with the Christmas claymation versus this, this is a half-hour story, all one story.
Yeah.
I don't think he's good for long term. I don't think he's good for a long-run special. He's good when 4 or 5 minute shorts, I think.
Yeah, well, yeah. Those weren't even that long. I think the long... Well, I used to think the one with the penguins and the seals or the walruses ice skating, I used to think that took forever.
Yeah.
I will say, though, even to this day, I mean, well... As an adult now, just to sit through it, I'll sit through the Joy to the World, but that's probably the worst one in that whole thing.
Yeah. We'll hit that one up in December, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, we definitely will.
So, as far as this goes, it won 2 awards, and they're probably the only 2 it's going to win, but it did win 2 Primetime Emmy Awards.
And for what? It had to be for just animation. It couldn't have been for story.
No, it won one of the Primetime Emmy Awards it won was for Outstanding Animated Program for Programming 1 Hour or Less. And then the other one that it won was Outstanding Individual Achievement in Animation.
All right. So, yeah. So it was still it was still based on the fact that it was animation and not for anything else.
And then basically for a half hour special was for the other one.
Well, they knew they couldn't probably win for story at least.
They're not going up there with the big dogs. No way.
I wonder with something like that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe things were different back then. I wonder. Well, there's so many things out there that are horrible. You wonder why people pay money to make them. But something like this, that's that time consuming. But, well, I mean, overall,
if you love it and you have a passion for it, that's what you do. You know?
Yeah. And, I mean, kind of like these podcasts.
That's true. Well, listen. But while we're wrapping up the end of this, I do want to do something that I had said I wanted to do before.
Oh yeah, I actually had it written. I know what you're going to say, and I had it written down, and I meant to bring it up earlier.
Well, actually, but this is something else. But we're going to go to that in a second. So this is going to be a commercial break, if you will, before we get to that next segment. So what I wanted to do was the year this came out was 1992. Mm-hmm. It's an Easter special. So what I wanted to do was find an Easter commercial from 1992, and we're just going to go ahead and play that right now. This is for some sort of candy called, I don't know if it's Lames or whatever candy, but it's a TV commercial from 1992, okay?
Can you pick a popular one?
No.
Lames
of course not.
Candies asks, what's your favorite thing about Easter?
I like chocolate and Easter eggs.
Chocolate bunnies. Chocolate.
A bunny's head on a stick.
I just ate 3,000 pieces of chocolate in 1 second.
Pistol Pete.
It looks like cowboy.
And he's rabbit.
I like to get the most Easter eggs than my brother does.
I love Easter dinner. I love habs, yabs, and labs.
What?
Okay, so that was a commercial for the Lambs candy.
I love habs, yabs, and labs.
Yeah, so... I don't know if you heard that one kid just randomly out of nowhere. He just goes, Pistol Pete.
Yeah, I giggled at that one.
Boy, so that's a bit I want to try to do every podcast here. So when that special came out, I'm going to try to find a commercial that was at the same time frame and play it. So that was one thing I wanted to do.
Heck, we got a lot for, especially come Halloween and Christmas, which, by the way, to all the listeners out there, I think here at the Holiday Bros, we feel that Halloween and Christmas are going to be our bread and butter holidays. So we're going to try and make sure to kick off a weekly podcast for the month of October as well as the month of December. So as of right now, we are planning on doing 4 podcasts for the month of October and 4 for the month of December, just because there's so many things that we could cover. And, it'll definitely keep us busy for the month.
Yeah. As holiday times, there's just not enough stuff to do. So We're going to do it, do it weekly, but that's fine because those two pretty much are bread and butter, as you said, of the holiday world. So the other thing I wanted to do, I had told you beforehand, what I wanted to ask every episode now, while watching this, if you could pick one character out of this special and be, and to be that person or character, who would it be and why?
Well, see, I guess I looked at it a little bit differently. I didn't pick who I wanted to be. I looked at who I felt I was.
Oh, okay.
Whether that might be different or not. But I also picked who I thought you were going to be as well.
Oh, okay. I kind of
so
like that.
I already, the way I did it is I actually, if I had to be anybody, I'd want to be the rat. But mm-hmm. what I actually, the way I did it and the way I looked at it, I pictured me being the Easter Bunny and you being Dr. Spike Rabbit.
All right, I could go along with that answer. For me, the way I was looking at it was, if I had to be any character in this special to live my life as, like to be that character, who would it be? I just picked the dog on the farm, just because for one, he's pretty wet and gross looking, but for two, he gets to chew the shit out of that guy.
Now,
to chew on him a little bit.
Meaning when you pick that character, like you're that character in that world.
Yeah, that would be your life existence would be that character.
All right, fair enough. Like, I wouldn't want to be the rat in this world, but I'd be the rat in that world.
Yeah, you live that life. That's you in the movie.
Yeah, I'd be the rat.
Yeah, that was just another little kind of game type of thing.
So we both picked animals, but there was not one human in that whole movie anyway, so.
No.
So, yeah, overall thoughts on it. With the exception of these things that you're telling me to look at, I will probably never watch that again unless my daughter wants to watch it in the future.
Yeah.
But I can't see myself willingly going back to this.
No, I did it twice, but that's just because I wanted to make sure I had some final thoughts and ideas ironed out. I didn't like it. I don't remember ever seeing it growing up, like we said before. Mm-mm. I don't think I'll ever watch it again.
Do you think you would have liked it as a kid?
I'm trying to think about that because there's not many Easter specials that I know of from when we were kids. There's like your classic Peter Cottontails or whatever those
ones
are.
There's also apparently a Peanuts one that one of our fans had mentioned, and I had no idea there was a Peanuts.
Oh, yeah. I have Easter. I have it here in the holiday collection as well. But I don't know. I don't think – as a kid, I would probably enjoy it though because like Claymation was like the new thing back then. You know what I mean?
Well, plus we dabbled with our own stop-motion animation, but that wasn't that early. We did that in, like, the late 90s.
Back when
DVDs He-Man and Tinkerbell.
An idea yet. But, yeah, I'm trying to think if I would enjoy it if I was a little kid. I had my son watch it. He liked it. So I guess I could say maybe I would
well,
like
I mean,
it.
I used to watch, and again, comedy, and I think Jim Cummings might have even been on this show, but I used to watch Bumpin' the Night all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Saturday mornings. My name is Mr. Bumpy. I go Bumpin' the Night.
That was a good cartoon animation.
Squishy. I can't imagine doing a weekly 30-minute, 22 minutes with commercials, but 22 minutes of animation for a weekly show all the time. That had to be ridiculous.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff is made out of foam armatures at some point, like little puppets, but still, you have to still move them one by one, one frame at a time.
Well, I even remember when Family Guy turned into computer animation, because the one season when it started, it was like, why do things look different and in really good detail? And when I looked it up, they stopped using paint.
Yep. Yeah, it's always noticeable. I miss the hands-on type of stuff.
But the best part is they picked fun at that when they had that one episode where they go back to the very first episode. Mm-hmm. And Stewie's even like, why do we look like this?
Yep. I like when they could poke fun of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm never going back to this one. I don't think I'm safe to say that. I didn't like it. If I had to rate it, see, I don't know if I could rate everything because there's just so much stuff to cover. We'll just say this. I didn't like it.
Well, I wouldn't rate it in a list of over things. If you want to give it a five star, out of a 5-star or 10-star rating.
Out of a 5-star, I'd give it 2 because I did get a couple of genuine chuckles out of it. And I appreciate the effort they put into it, but it's just a thing.
I'll give it 2.5. Like I said, when I went back to get some of the audio, some things were starting to grow on me only because I understood it a little bit better on what was going on, but apparently not everything, with the things that you pointed out to me. So I would say that that's definitely a almost a wrap here with that one.
Yeah. before we close out the show, you had something you're going to do at the end, but I could go ahead and throw out some of our contact information here. If you have the list of some of the future episodes, do you have that brought up?
No, I don't. And I don't want to futz around with moving windows around just in case. I don't want the audio to stop.
All right, I could bring it up here. But while I'm looking this up, if you want, you started a Facebook page group?
Yeah, we actually, it's going to be at the Holiday Bros. So if you were to look up the Holiday Bros, apparently Facebook requires that you have a personal page, and then you could create they call it a business page, but in this case, it's made for the podcast. So if you were to look up the Holiday Bros, you would see that as a friend, and we're not looking for to, you know, gain friends on the Holiday Bros actual friend Facebook page. We're kind of just letting that one go. All the updates and everything will be on the Holiday Bros actual podcast page, which with Facebook, they are using the at symbol. So you could just find it by typing in at the Holiday Bros, all one word. And you'd be able to locate us that way. And that will also be updating that one along with Twitter and Instagram as well.
Yeah. So what we usually do is when an episode goes up live, we'll post a picture up of the episode. You know, we'll pick a random picture and we'll make something up so you know something's live. But then we're also going to use that to remind you of the next episode. So on Instagram and Twitter, they're both at the Holiday Bros. And it looks like on our schedule here for May, you have American Sniper down.
Yeah, and the reason for that was Memorial Day for the end of the month. I was told it was a fantastic movie, and I've yet to see it, and I was told just brace myself for it. So, you know, I'm interested in seeing that, and this could be a very good reason for us to see it. So, I mean, the schedule's tentative because things could change, but...
Who's the lead in that movie? Is that the one with...
I was going to say John Cena, but it's
Bradley,
not John
Bradley
Cena.
Cooper?
Yeah,
Bradley
it's Bradley Cooper, yeah.
Okay,
I don't know why I was thinking John Cena.
I don't know. I did see that movie. It is enjoyable. I will definitely watch it again, though.
Okay. Well, yeah, and that's... I think Mark and Dave were talking to me about that a while ago, saying that it, you know, it really... If that was the one that it said it bought, like, the ending bothered them.
No, probably, yeah.
So, I guess
we'll post it on the Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. But
yeah, well, the schedule's tentative, but I mean, primarily, you know, I shouldn't say that. The schedule's tentative for you and I. I would like to make sure that we know by the podcast prior that we know what we're sending out. So it'll definitely be American Sniper next month.
All right. So like you said, at the Holiday Bros on Facebook, you could search for us on there, Instagram and Twitter at the Holiday Bros, and you could also email the show, theholidaybros@gmail.com.
Yep. So... Again, the Holiday Bros, we're all about the holidays and everything, and we would just like to take the time to share our condolences for a band member that was lost, a national treasure in my mind. Paul O'Neill, who was the original founder of one of my favorite Christmas bands, which is the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, had passed away a few days ago, and I was trying to look it up. I still don't know exactly what had happened, but I do believe I knew earlier in the year that he was sick, and that could very well explain why he was out on tour this past year with them all. He wasn't playing or anything, but he was, I think he sang one song, but he was going to all these different concerts, and he wasn't out with them for the longest time, I believe. I've been going to Trans-Siberian for the past 8 or 9 years in a row, and this is the first time that I remember him actually coming out to one of the shows. So, you know, definitely it's a great loss to the community of, you know, TSO fans and the Christmas celebrations. But I was going to pay a little tribute to here and just play an excerpt. And this would actually be me on the piano, but me playing an excerpt of, you know, one of their songs that went to number one, which was Christmas Eve in Sarajevo. So, if we can manage this, here we go. There we go. Messed up a few times, but that's okay. It was a quick little tribute to him.
That's what happens when you record live.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Definitely a sad loss, but...
It is, it is. So we'd like to, again, send our condolences out to the Trans-Siberian Orchestra themselves, as well as all the people that have been touched and moved by his music and his passion. So definitely a good guy. So he will be missed.
Yeah, so I didn't mean to end the show on such a down note, but we'll bring it back to Easter a little bit here since that's the holiday coming up. Do you have big Easter plans? You celebrate with the kids? You have a huge thing?
No, I mean, just, you know... little Easter egg hunt for her, and just going to the in-laws for dinner, and that's pretty much it. I have to admit, I don't know how you are. I'm not a big fan of Easter as the holiday. It's, I mean, let's taking out the whole religious aspect. Let's look at it the way that most of us do: Easter bunny and candy. Yeah. And I just, I mean, yeah, I enjoyed the candy growing up, but I don't know. Just one of the Easter just gave me a dirty Sunday feeling, and not just because it was on Sundays, but for people that don't know what a dirty Sunday feeling is, it grossed me out in a way. Like,
yeah, a dirty Sunday feeling as a kid, you get that feeling because you know the next day you have school,
even though you didn't as a kid with Easter. It still gave you that horrible feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, we're the same way with Easter, but as a kid, like, we were pretty much candy only for Easter. We never got, like, presents, which kids nowadays get, like, presents. But I always remember, like, when we were growing up, like, our cousins would be up at our grandmother's for Easter, and they'd be like, oh, I got comic books, or I got all this, and I'd just be in the corner, like, with a little tear in my eye. Like, I just got a peep that was stale and hard. What happened?
Well, and you know what? Going to that, what I, you know... Not that I wasn't grateful, but you might look at it this way. But what I didn't like is that we literally got Easter candy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that. Like I, when again, you're saying that. When we'd go up and see our cousins, and they had Starburst and Skittles and stuff like that, we didn't get that stuff. Like, to me, that was Halloween candy. That was that was gold, and we never got that. We got classic jelly beans, which go right through me. We had those sweet tarts that were shaped like chicks.
Those were my favorite things. We also got the malt balls, which were disgusting to me.
And that huge peanut butter egg with that hard, hard, hard carrot sugar carrot on top that was always put in the fridge. And they had all of our initials on it, so we knew whose was whose.
Yep, and we'd be sitting there gnawing on that thing for weeks.
There would be an N, a C, a KV, and a K, and a KL.
Yeah. Classic Easter. And now, one thing I was going to ask you, all of our Easter stuff, like when we were growing up in the basket, it was in eggs or in saran wrap. That's how we got our peeps, whatever. But my wife tells me that in her Easter basket, everything was just loose leaf in there. Like, so she just picture a basket with that grass in it, and there would just be like thrown in jelly beans. Like, everything was loose leaf. There was some.
I know most people that are like that. That's disgusting. Yeah,
that's not my style. I have to put everything in eggs. I'm not a loose leafer. Oh. But like she said, there would just be like, you would dig around there. Maybe you would forget like a peep or something. The next year it would be like all mixed in the grass.
Well,
but
that's I mean, and obviously we recycled the grass, but they would recycle it too, even with the candy loose.
Yeah, they would just put it back because they thought that we got all the stuff out, but there was still some guys floating around in there.
God, I don't know. I mean, you know, Bridget, she's very excited for the Easter bunny, but
yeah, I have to admit, like, we do get our kids presents and stuff for Easter, but just like minimal stuff. Like, I we don't get them bikes or anything.
No,
like
she'll
that.
Get. I think she's getting like a book or a coloring book, something like that. But
I mean, in all honesty, I prefer getting stuff like that so the kids' teeth don't get all jacked up because of all day. But
does your oldest son? Does he? Does the Easter bunny still mean anything for him or not?
Oh yeah, yeah. He's the way I was. Like, I always believed in stuff, like, for a long time.
I think I did until I was, like, 16. I don't know. I honestly do not... Don't remember... I think you said you did, but I really don't remember... And we could talk more about that during those other holidays, but I don't remember... I'm sure the time that I found out about Santa Claus, I'm sure every other mythical creature clicked, but... So, it's not like, oh, I remember when I found out about Santa. I remember when I found out about the Easter Bunny. It had to be a one-time thing, but
one at a time. And then till the next time something happened, you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, exactly. I actually do not recall at all when that had, when that took place. I believe you said actually last podcast, you do remember, knowing about it or figuring it out, but I don't.
Yeah. Maybe when we get to those certain holidays, we'll have some stories about it.
Well, for the viewers, we will be having Christmas in July. coming up.
Oh, so yeah.
We will have an early one. And that one, I could proudly say, we're doing a two-parter because Christmas in July. So, and I know for a fact we're not deviating away from this. We will be doing Home Alone 1 and Home Alone 2 for the month of July.
Great classics. I'm looking at the collector's edition sitting on my shelf right now, the big paint can.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin McAllister yelling at me right now, screaming with his hands up. I love him.
Oh, that's going to take forever with that audio. I'm already dreading it.
That's true. I have some of that audio on my phone for permanent use. Yeah. Oh, well. I guess we could wrap it up since our Easter talks are over. Now we're getting into some Christmas.
Yeah. That tells us how much we love Easter.
Yeah. But hey. You know, you gave us all the contact information before, pretty much at The Holiday Bros on everything across the board, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and The Holiday Bros Podcast at Gmail. No, it's just TheHolidayBros@gmail.com. Sorry.
Correct. Yep.
So, everybody, guess that's it for this week. So
happy Easter. Happy holiday.
Yep. Make sure you guys have a good one. Stay safe. And my name is Charlie.
And I'm Kevin, here to bid you farewell and happy holiday from the
Holiday Bros.